Okay, I think we are all set. Sorry about that.
Okay, we'll just quickly start over and run through it.
Yeah, if you don't mind. We're waiting for JP. I will send him the link via email in case he didn't get that.
All right. Are we waiting for JP or?
Oh no, I think we can start and then he can catch up.
Okay. Calling to order the membership committee meeting Thursday, June 8th, 9th, or 2023. We're going to do introductions. My name is Ed Chinney, co-chair of the membership committee.
Ron Hernandez, committee member.
Thank you.
Pedro Felix, committee member.
Elaine Flores, membership member.
Zachary Davenport, council member and committee member.
Is Gwen connected?
Gwen, can you hear us? So maybe we don't need to wait for Gwen, but hopefully Gwen can connect soon. I think that there were some challenges there.
Yeah. JP, we're doing announcements.
Or introductions.
Introductions.
Hi there, JP Soto, council member.
And then Crown Council staff.
Mark Mulder, council staff.
And there is no public. Moving on, if we could look at our meeting, our minutes for today's meeting. Brown, if you could bring them up quickly.
Everyone can see it okay. I'm just going to go through it quickly.
Are there any changes or additions? Hearing none, we'll approve them by acclamation. Moving on, if we could bring up the agenda for today's meeting.
All right, can everyone see this?
Are there any changes or addition to the agenda for today?
Well, these are the minutes. We looked at the agenda first.
Oh, we're in the minutes. Thank you.
There's this one here that I clocked. This being the second time. Oops.
Okay.
I'll just remove that.
Are there any corrections, changes, or additions to the minutes from the May 11th meeting? Hearing none, we'll approve it by acclamation. Are there
should
any?
Note that, should note that Beth Neary from HHS has joined us.
Ah, hi, Beth. Thank you, Mark. Are there any announcements from council members? Staff? Public? Moving on. Mark, would you like to give us an update on any absences or letters or anyone that might need nudging?
I'll turn that over to Crown. Crown is a person who has a responsibility for that. I don't know if we have any. I don't think so. But if you can note what and what we don't have, Crown as well as who is on LOA.
Yep, so we have nothing much to report, but we do have two members that are current leave of absences. That's going to be Miss Billy Cooper and then Juba. And that's right. That.
Thank you. Now we're up to our demographic. Mark,
all right, so
Crown.
Kira, I can handle this one. Kira is not with us today. So let me share screen. Which one should we do first? I guess we'll do our Epi first. we'll go in order of relevance, honestly, to the council. Let's see, that is EPI. All right, so this is our EPI report. Again, the EPI report portrays the demographic breakdown of individuals who are HIV positive overall, not necessarily only Ryan White clients. And so we'll see here that we are reflecting the demographic to an extent, certainly overrepresenting white, not Hispanic. And we'll see here we have our challenges that are familiar to us in with the Black / African American population, with the Native American population, and with youth. As we scroll down a little bit further, we see all those 0%, and we now apparently have 0% for anyone under 50. Huh. Some people have turned 50 without me realizing it. Okay. Something to look at. So this is EPI. Let's go on to the more specifically relevant one, Aries, which of course portrays our Ryan White demographics, which is truly what we should be in compliance with, although that is aspirational. I'll point that out as well. It's not like our council will suffer the rage of HRSA, but we will definitely have to answer questions, and we do during meetings if our demographics don't reflect the epidemic. And of course, what we like to do here in San Francisco, and I'm sure many other jurisdictions, is to overrepresent particularly vulnerable populations. And so we'll see here, going to the far right column, what we had a snapshot of in the prior share, which is that with Black / African American, we're at about 14%. We should be around 19%. So we should have one more council member should probably do it. For Latino / Hispanic, we are under. We've resolved that, I think, a little bit. Well, I guess we must have been really under, because I know with the coming of Guillerme, but Guillerme is not a line consumer. And so that means that we, although that helped us perhaps overall, as we see here, it doesn't really matter when it comes to this far right column, right? We're literally half of where we should be. We're 14.3% and under a half, actually. And we should be at 30.8%. So we do need to bring to onboard more people who identify as Latino or Hispanic.
Mark, I'm sorry to interrupt. I know this was explained already, but can you explain one more time what's a non-aligned consumer?
Absolutely. A consumer of services is a person who uses Ryan White Part A services. There has been questions around if that could include someone who's affected, which means, like, say, the spouse or the sibling / caregiver of a person who is positive. But in general, we look at it as an HIV positive person, and that is a consumer of service. A non-aligned consumer of service is further on someone who does not have a conflict of interest, which means they do not have a particular alignment. So if they're non-aligned, that means they are not working at a Ryan White funded agency, nor on the board of directors. They can be on a consumer advisory board. They can be on other kinds of bodies associated with a service provider, but they cannot receive financial remuneration in any way from that entity, or have fiscal responsibility from that entity. So they can be neither staff nor board of Ryan White to be considered not aligned. You can still be those things. You're just not going to be aligned. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
It really underlines the idea that we want a certain percentage of the council, ideally a third, 33%, to be people who are completely conflict free, because conflict free consumers are, say, unlike consumers who have conflicts, or service providers who clearly have conflicts, because they won't. If they advocate for a service category, it does not necessarily have an impact on money coming in to them personally. Does that make sense even further, hopefully?
Yes, thank you so much.
Sure thing. And so we see here, Kira has helpfully put those in what looks like, what color is that? Salmon? Peach? I have no idea. She's put that in a certain kind of color. And we see here with our biggest ones are Latino / Hispanic, American Indian / Alaska Native, female. Huh, this is a very different thing. Often we have actually been very overrepresented as far as a female goes. Clearly that's a new challenge. And then we have our youth category and what's not a youth category, which is basically 25 to 44. It's good that in some ways these numbers are clear, but what's not clear to me, which I'll have to check back with Kira on, is that as we saw in Epi, we didn't have anyone under 50, but we see here that we actually have quite a few people under. So I'll check back, if you or I, Crown, can check back with Kira about like, why is there a discrepancy between these two demographic reports? That would be great. And then we'll see here at the very bottom left, what we're looking at. So we're not doing badly. So even though we definitely need work and we have a plan, you know, we have created a plan that will be in effect after we get through this next COLA. We do have a plan. And despite this being a challenge, we are overrepresented as far as 33% when it comes to total HIV positive. Keep in mind, that's not aligned and aligned. And we're only slightly under for not aligned. 27% to 33% means we just need one more person who's not aligned. And so this can happen. I know it can happen. We shall see when it happens. Certainly we have someone in the pipeline, but they have not been great as far as coming to meetings. I've talked to them a couple times, actually more than a couple times at this point, if you include text conversations. And I do love their energy. This is the person that was referred to us from Ron. I just get a sense, this is a very busy person who is involved in actually a lot of community bodies. And so we might just need to consider that future outreach might be solving this problem, if that makes sense. Let me respond to Gwen's passcode is not working. Uh-oh. All right, so I'm going to stop share and try to figure out what's going on. Let me be open to any questions or comments about the demographic report before I try to help Gwen out. Any questions or comments about the demographic report? No? Okay, so let me try to help Gwen here. Figure out why she's unable to talk. We do not want Gwent silenced ever.
All right, moving on, the next part of our agenda would be to discuss the in-person versus Zoom meetings. And I guess a question for Mark or Crown, would it be possible to have a hybrid of both?
I can speak to that, Crown, unless you'd like to. If we are able to get the same space we had the full council, I mean, it's kind of a large space for a small group, but we could do it that way. We could even move, since it's a small group, move it closer to the board. We could possibly also do it at Shanti, where there is a room which has a smart board. Unfortunately, it's a fairly small room. This is a fairly small group, but let's see, 3, 6, 9, 10, like that will be, I hope you all don't have a lot of concerns about like really rubbing elbows with your peers, because we would be in a small room together. So there's those two options. As far as hybrid goes, you know, we have seen the challenges and the virtues during our full council meetings. Anyone who comes in hybrid who is a council member will actually be coming in not as a council member. You'll be coming in as a member of public. So that's a big caution for us looking at hybrid meetings, in that it might seem easier for folks, but it's not easier for the committee overall, because you're robbing yourself of people who have the same parity when it comes to speaking, and certainly when it comes to a vote. So please keep that in mind when considering a hybrid meeting. We can definitely do it, you know? And the thing is, like, if we have members of the public who can only do it via hybrid, we would have to do it. But as a resource for council members, this becomes more of a challenge. I'd like the council to think of Zooming in or during what is a live meeting, an in-person meeting, as your last resort, and perhaps only using it if you were, say, at a conference and you just want to be aware of what's happening, you know, rather than another option. Also, the state has a pretty stringent guidelines around that. You can't continue to use hybrid as a rationale for continuing to Zoom in unless you actually have an ongoing disability or you're having childcare or health issues related to that. It has to be demonstrated if you're going to be doing it on an ongoing basis. I'm so sorry, Gwen. I'm not sure what to do about this. I gave you the host key. Let me see if there's anything else I can do here. I have one more thing I could use. Let me try this one. This might do it. Fingers crossed. Let's all cross our fingers for Gwen. Anyway, I think we just need to be very careful when considering like whether we want to truly make something hybrid on an ongoing basis because mm-hmm. of those challenges. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Since we were looking at it, it had stated hybrid or Zoom versus in person, and I threw that out there just to make sure that we were covering all bases that someone might be interested in.
I think the group should also consider, in some ways, how this will potentially show up for committee members. I think we could look at it. And almost like do a T-bar of like positives and negatives. The positive is nice. It is potential from my perspective only. It is nice to have one of the three subcommittees be an in-person one. It's just nice to have that option, right? It also, as certainly council members have spoken to in the past, would be a way to create community. You definitely create community more based on in-person interactions. We see that with the council members at the full council meeting. Like there's just a different feeling during those meetings that we've been having now in person. So I think those are two very, very strong rationales for having at least one subcommittee, perhaps this one, become in person. I think the challenges and debits are also perhaps equally strong, which is might be more for service providers, perhaps, in that I don't know if we'll be able to retain all of our members. I do think that there are members who, say, work in East Bay or who schedules are like Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting, who then would not be able to attend, and we'd suffer from that loss. And I think another debit would be if we potentially lose council committee members, to what end is that if we're accomplishing what we're doing already here virtually? So I think you all should sort of consider the pros and cons and also come up perhaps with your own before making a decision. Council support will literally support whichever decision you make.
Thank you, Mark.
Looks like there's a hand up there from JP.
And I have a glare, so if you could look up. Yes, okay. JP. JP, go ahead.
Sorry, still trying to find the mute button after all these years. Mark, can you tell us what the other committees are doing so far and how many folks are not currently on this call today that are part of the officially part of the committee?
I think Crown, if you could look up who's missing while I answer the first part of the question. The other committees are all virtual. So Council Affairs has in some ways made a commitment to remain virtual, and community engagement is virtual, quote unquote, for now, but does not seem to be particularly interested in shifting back, but also is open to it. Steering is virtual until it's not. So if steering has to make a decision, steering will meet person. The people who are part of that group have that understanding that if there needs to be decisions made, they will convene in person. Otherwise, they are virtual. PLWH advocacy group, I'm not sure.
Okay, cool. The reason I was asking, other than out of curiosity, is I just know that for the last few months, we've been actually having a really hard time with quorum. And there's a really great showing of folks today, which is fantastic, but that hasn't really been the case, I think, for the last 6 months. So I'm afraid my fear is that if we went to in person, that we would have possibly less folks showing up than we're able to get at this in this model here where it's more accessible. But that was just my two cents.
That's my fear as well.
Paul, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, sorry. It wasn't on my calendar for some reason, but I got the email from Crown, so I jumped on. Yeah, it's a total dilemma, right? Because I think no one's disputing that in-person meetings have more power, you know, like in terms of the participants and the engagement, etc. But you widen the scope of who can come to meetings when you make them available remotely. So it's a trade-off, you know, and it sucks that we have to trade it off. But, you know, I do have a preference for in-person because it shows a commitment. I'm not saying that people who do only remote meetings are not committed, but there's a different commitment to get off your ass and show up. And it can be an inconvenience and it can, you know, it can put other people with like kids and things or whatever out a little more. But I don't know. Is there a magical hybrid? You know, I don't know.
I too like the in-person meetings, but Zoom does have its pluses. I live relatively close. I'm over by the ballpark, but it could take me 30 to 45 minutes to get to the meeting and then back home. And if you're already slammed into a busy day, that's 90 minutes of time that could have been productive doing something, whether it was balancing out your work life or attending and completing meetings. There's also the cost of getting to the meeting when you're, if for members that are on budgets, just coming back and forth. Some people take multiple forms of transit to get here, which even for them is a greater burden on just the time. You know, it's a half a day for them to get here and back.
Yeah.
I kind of agree and disagree with you, Ed. You know, everybody's saying about East Bay. Well, I'm on North Bay. I make that commitment every single day, or not every single day, but in my head, I make it every single day, knowing that I have this membership meeting I got to go to on Thursday. I make my schedule around it. And I have a busy, productive week just like everybody else, but it is the strength of what commitment I am to this council. So if I have to get on that commuter bus and go, and it is longer for me than most of everybody that's in the city, I still will do it. If everybody said, oh, guess what? We have to do this membership in person now. It's like, okay, that's what we got to do. If it's a proactive, more live, yes, I do think that we will get things a little bit more done in person than we do on Zoom, because it's easy for all of us to just show ourselves on screen, but are we really paying attention? That's just my two cents.
Who has the nerve not to pay attention? Raise your hand.
Right?
I'd like to know.
I'm guilty of it. Hey, if I have to go to the bathroom, I'm going to go.
You're the only one, Elaine. I would never in a million years turn my video off and go use the bathroom.
Right now, I want to go get an ice cream bar in my fridge. Sorry?
Hey, what about... I don't know if you ever thought about this one. I mean, what if it was like three virtuals for every one in person or something? And make just, you know, like, so, you know, once a month we actually try and meet in person. And if we could make it a hybrid anyway, that so those person didn't lose any, I don't know, that might help just hold on to that kind of human touch, if, you know, if something like that. I don't know.
I wonder if that's would be a good way to experiment this out, because I definitely hear what Ed's saying, and I know that these are also what I feel like I've heard from other folks, perhaps Cesar as well, while I've certainly heard from folks like Ron and Elaine that, you know, but this is a commitment that we're making, and it's also just genuinely good to meet in person for meetings. So I'm wondering how folks would feel if we pick up Paul's idea and try an every other month kind of thing for starters. I mean, it might become such an enchanting experience that people are like, you know what, let's do this every month. Or it might be like, wow, only two people showed up for this meeting in person. Wow. Or how do folks feel about sort of experimenting that way?
That'd be cool. Why not?
It looks like Beth has her hand raised virtually.
Yes, sorry, I don't know if I'm supposed to wait until after. I just had a thought that since this particular committee interviews people, that could, if you're doing a rotating, maybe the interviews could be in person, or, you know,
Oh, I love that idea too.
I like that even better.
Yes, I think that I want to remove my suggestion and put that one forward. That one really makes a lot of sense, because I think you get a better sense of a person in person anyway, right? We're all our worst and best selves on Zoom, not usually somewhere in the middle. Well, so what do folks think about Beth's idea of actually making this committee in person when it comes to in-person type things like interviews? I see a thumbs up from Elaine, a thumbs up from Zachary, thumbs up from Ron, thumbs up from Ed, a cynical expression from Paul, a lovely...
That's because lifting my thumb is so hard.
Oh, that's right, you've been hurt. Okay. A thumbs up from Paul. A lovely icon from JP. Okay, a thumbs up. What do I hear from Gwen? Can you throw that up in chat? And okay, Pedro, did I see a thumbs from you? Okay, that's unanimous. We don't even need to vote on that. We can just take that. Council staff can take that as our marching orders for when we next have an interview, which actually, if Junebug comes through, then that actually might mean... it's June now, in August might be our first in-person meeting. That's something to look forward to. Excellent. Okay, yay. I love it.
So you've taken off the idea of one in-person for every three Zooms or every other.
Yeah, let's start with, it's still a work in progress. Like, if folks are so enchanted by that in-person meeting when we interview the next contestants, wow. When we interview the next potential council members, like, nothing's set in stone. Like, you all might have such a good feeling after that meeting that you all decide, you know what, let's revisit this. We actually want to keep on doing this. But this way, this also doesn't apply pressure to those folks who might have more mixed feelings and hesitancy around that. It actually gives them time to prepare. We will be interviewing prospective council members in the future. So it's not like this is going to go away.
And where would we have the meeting?
TBD. We have space at Shanti, comfy space that we're going to be all close together, or we first go to DPH with that sixth floor conference room. Beth, maybe that's something that you and Kira or Crown could talk to, if there's other places that have smart boards, because we would want
to put it in the chat. 330A is open for reservations again. I don't know how open. But I've gotten one in after much delay. So that had been closed for the whole pandemic response. But it's available, and it was the nicest room that the council met in before, and it does have a smart board and such.
So Crown, if you can connect with, I think you're the person handling room reservations. Mm-hmm. So I would want us to just, I mean, we don't know for sure if we'll have an interview in August, but I want to be aspirational, because I really have liked who Ron referred over to the council, and I'm really hoping that she does have the time to include us in her schedule of community events. Can you see if you can try to secure that for the August meeting of membership?
Totally. Was it 330A?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have to come early to get the keys, and there's microphone options. Yes, there's a little more under that lid.
So if all things go, I mean, this kind of moves into a later agenda item, I think, as far as recruitment goes. But this could mean, let's keep our fingers crossed and be aspirational here, that if Junebug is actually able to attend the June meeting, because you have to attend a meeting before really turning in anything to me. Then she can submit an application prior to the July membership, where her application can be reviewed and perhaps approved. And if approved, then in August, we'd bring her into our first in-person meeting and interview her. Or anyone else who might be interested, who knows? I mean, there might be other people in the pipeline. I just haven't heard from them, if so. All right, great. Back to you, Ed.
Back to me. Well, you had mentioned recruitment. We were going to send out representatives when you were doing COLAs, and I think needs assessment, and we're waiting on those dates.
Yep, that plan's still in action. So if you recall, or perhaps not, there is an order of events here. The first order of events is actually the non-recruitment COLA, although that doesn't mean that we're not going to get people potentially from this. This is a COLA that's very specifically targeting individuals who have experienced challenges around eviction. And so those folks may want to join the council, but you know, clearly if they're gonna be part of this COLA, they're experiencing trauma like literally right now. So I just don't have any big expectations, but that doesn't mean that Crown and Kira, and if I'm in there, won't be able to say, and if you're interested in joining the council, here's my card, contact us. You know, we'll do that at every COLA. So after that one is completed, and we literally just met with Stephen Spano to set this up, I think it was our last sort of our last coordinating meeting. So after that happens, then comes the targeted needs assessment and targeted COLAs. And so that's when I will definitely be there to talk about outreach. And that's where one of you will also definitely be there. So this is down the line. I wouldn't expect this until, like, say, end of summer or maybe a little bit earlier. But it's coming for sure. We just need to get through this next COLA before we start hitting the needs assessment, which, as we know, is targeting Latino folks. And then after that, or even possibly during that, COLA is targeting Black/African-American and youth. And I think we probably want to throw in Native American there since we're at 0%. Mm-hmm. looks like Elaine has her hand up. An actual hand, not even a virtual one.
Hey. I just wanted to give you guys an update on, we had our community forum meeting about 2 weeks ago. And I know I've had this discussion with this group before about when we have those community forums, putting out the flyers when they attend the meetings, having it there and have like an application. We did it. And we were successfully, we got two interviews coming up that want to join the council. Oh.
Nice.
So yeah. I told you guys, it does work. When you put out the flyer for the council and an application, when you do these little community forum meetings, you'd be surprised in how many people do want to respond. Automatically, I handed it over to them and they were like, oh yeah, I want to join. So it's like, oh, even good. That's why it's good to have all those forums ready, so when they do say, what can I do to join, here's the application, fill this out. And then we just said, hey, this is Nog, you know, you always can just get, this is her number, make sure all the information's on it, and then boom. So we got two members that are going to get interviewed for joining the council here.
Elaine, that is a wonderful advice. Crown, let's definitely take that advice for the whether I'm there or not for this COLA for those folks experiencing eviction challenges. Not only should you and Kira bring cards, can you please print out some copies of the application? You know, that's just so like such an easy piece of advice that we clearly, in some ways, no, I'll own that. I overlooked that idea. And that's just so basic. You just pass out an application.
Some printed. I actually bring a couple extra to every full council meeting, and then I always have some in my work bag. So I'll always bring those anytime.
Excellent. Make sure though that they're the updated version that I sent to you and Kira more recently. I noticed some outdated stuff on there.
Yeah, those are the ones.
Great. Thank you, Crown. And thank you, Elaine.
You're welcome.
I'm glad that community forum, well, the council support contract here in San Francisco pays for that. So I saw the receipts for that. I was wondering, did that go well? It seemed like there was a lot of people who showed up for that based on the receipts.
It could have went a little bit better. And Thomas did come in through Zoom, but it did. And It did go pretty good. We did get the response back. We're still having a little trouble here and there with dental, which is that's always going to be an issue. But everybody reached out and they spoke their mind, and we even got more supported response, or had some people speakers come up from different nonprofits that were doing special things. Whistle Stop, that has been very famous here, changed its name. And now they have like all these outreaching kind of thing that people can come and join, mingle in with other people. They have like these arts and crafts that you want to go and do. It's our whole entire formatting was about how to get back into realization in life after COVID. And the response we got back was just so great that it was overwhelming. And then having all of us say how wonderful it is to have these speakers and how wonderful it is to be on this council, that it just motivated everybody who to get that application and say, I want to be that. I want to join this. If it's like this, this is what I want to do. So it's like get that, just having all that and just letting people know that it's okay to come back out and mingle and do a lot of things and still let your voice be heard, part of this council and part of life. So it was great.
Thank you. Love hearing all that.
And thank you for the food. It was so good. Chinese food. It was good.
That was all No, we just paid for it. Na's the one who chose all that. Good.
Thank you, guys.
But it did look delicious. I inspected the receipts closely.
Right. It was.
And Mark mentioned August meeting, and it just popped into my mind. I will not be at the August meeting. I will be away on vacation. First one in 3 years.
Good. I'm glad you're going on vacation. Well, we'll make sure that Cesar is aware that wait, is it Cesar who is our co-chair? Mm-hmm. Cesar is aware. And if Cesar isn't able to attend that in-person meeting, I know that he was one of the people who had challenges with in-person meeting. You know, we have a lot of talent here. We have also two former committee and council mm-hmm. co-chairs in Elaine and JP. We have Gwen, Paul, Pedro, Ron, Zachary, you know, we can have someone hopefully facilitate. And of course, worst comes to worst, can always be council staff. So you'll be missed, but if you're okay with it, the meeting can still go on.
Oh, of course. Of course. Just don't ask me to join in.
Won't.
Thank you. Do we have any other discussion around either recruitment or virtual versus in-person meeting? If not, are there any issues or items that you would like to put forth for the next agenda, next meeting?
Nope.
Hearing none. Our next meeting will be on July the 13th via Zoom. And if there are no other comments or no other questions, we can consider the meeting adjourned.
Oh, can I speak in one announcement I didn't get in earlier?
Oh, yes.
And it's not really mine to announce, so there'll be more information and context coming later when Andy and Bill are back. They're on vacation this week. The ending the epidemic funding, so not our Ryan White Part A, but it's administered on the same funding cycle and pretty similar to the Ryan White Part A. We have an audit visit coming in July, late July. I want to say the 25th through 27th. I maybe should have looked it up. And they have two panels of meetings where we're not invited and as a staff, one with clients and one with like San Francisco stakeholders. I think they call it stakeholders meetings. They're very interestingly defined. And we're not allowed to overrepresent planning council members at the stakeholder meeting because they want, you know, a wide variety of perspective, but it's likely that Andy or Bill are gonna reach out to the council at some point to ask for a little help having some council members represented there because, you know, it's a large body of knowledge you guys have. Yeah. So more to come from them, but just thought I'd mention it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else before we say goodbye?
I hope you feel better soon, Paul. Okay, you're muted, but we
I said, who said I don't feel awesome? It's just a broken arm, bro. It's okay.
Okay, I will not. I no longer will have any compassion for you.
I love your compassion, Mark. Don't ever give it up. It makes you even more charming.
Bye, all. Have a great week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Want to stay on, Crown?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. I just, sorry that the, is it still recording?
Nope, I will. I mean, yes, but let me stop it.
Yes, but shortly now.